Hello and welcome to Let the Bird Fly, a podcast about living freely in a world given back to us. This is Wade here, coming to you now from my office at the college for another Winging It session. This time talking about one of the lesser controversies in the book, in the sense that it wasn't an internecine or inter-Lutheran controversy, but was a controversy that Lutherans had with a non-Lutheran that yet nonetheless was impacting or affecting Lutheran churches, and especially the laity. And that is the dispute with Caspar Schwenkfeld, however you choose to pronounce it. I can barely pronounce English most of the time, and most of my Latin and German has been to be able to read it, so my pronunciations are not always great. But the dispute with Schwenkfeld was a dispute about Scripture, how we should read Scripture, how we should interpret Scripture, and things of this nature. And Schwenkfeld had some contact with Luther. He had reached out to Luther to try to interest him in basically what we might call small group Bible study or conventicles as a way to further, spiritual development of people. This is something that historically Lutherans were very skeptical of, at least how it developed in the past, because you oftentimes had a group of people who weren't necessarily educated in the Scriptures coming together and then sharing their ignorance or coming up with uninformed positions, which sometimes could even be fairly dangerous politically and religiously as well. But Caspar Schwenkfeld was a spiritualist, maybe we might say. He emphasized the spiritual exegesis of Scripture, meaning that you kind of go to Scripture to find in it what you want to find, or some meaning beyond just the plain literal meaning. The idea that there's something in you and something in the Scriptures that's going to align, and they will speak to you personally in a way that they might not speak personally to someone else. As you might have picked up on, Matthias Flacius was also involved in combating this teaching. All of these controversies involve Flacius to some extent, and Flacius said, "Spiritual exegesis fits Scripture like a fist fits into an eye." Luther elsewhere had talked about the danger of going to Scripture and treating it like a wax nose that you can kind of just bend around as you see fit to make it fit what you desire. And this is a controversy that is still timely in our own day, because this is the way many people still do approach the Scriptures, not to find in there God speaking to them objective truth by the Spirit and in Christ, but to find in them what resonates with them and to leave behind what doesn't, kind of like going to Old Country Buffet and taking, you know, a lot of one thing and none of the other, rather than recognizing that the Scriptures are a unity. The Lutheran Church is oftentimes spoken of doctrine more than it's spoken of doctrines even. You know, it's not a pizza pie where you take one piece or two. It's more like a bicycle wheel. You take the spokes out, even a few, and you're riding on a potato chip now. And so the Lutherans opposed the teaching of Schwenkfeld. They saw in it some real danger of undermining the very message of Scripture. And we see how this has played out, so that as people have approached the Scriptures in such a way, many will say, well, you say Scripture alone, but everyone has their own interpretation of Scripture. People can't agree. And so what the Lutheran Church has emphasized, and I think rightly continues to do so, at least confessional Lutheran churches, is that Scripture interprets Scripture. We don't go in there to come out with whatever we might. We don't stand over the Scriptures. If there's a passage of Scripture that's difficult to understand, we read it according to the whole. We go and we stand under the Scriptures. We, of course, use reason. We look at rules of grammar and things of this nature. We study the history of the time to understand the context. But we also understand that the Scriptures are where God acts upon us in a way that it is not us going in and inserting ourselves in or waiting, you know, for some divine light to come to us with some special message beyond the message of Scriptures themselves, but recognizing that in the Scriptures themselves, there is a message for all, and that message for all is salvation by grace through faith in Christ, the forgiveness of sins. This isn't to say that each text doesn't have a variety of lessons for us that might stand out to us differently at different times. 13 years in the ministry now, there's texts I've preached on 7, 8, 9 times, and none of those sermons were the same. I could each time go in and find a biblical message for my people or for myself as I was studying. But that was done recognizing that the meaning of Scripture is the meaning of Scripture, understanding that the language was used for a reason, that these are historical things that are being discussed unless it's clearly speaking allegorically or metaphorically, and things of this nature. And so we see here a connection to the bondage of the will, because Erasmus himself had countered Luther and said, well, how can you say Scripture alone as the authority in the church when many learned fathers, many great doctors of the church have failed to agree? And so this went to, once again, the heart of Luther's theology, his uncompromising gospel. And inevitably, any challenge to the objective truth of Scripture, the meaning of Scripture, really will eventually challenge the gospel, because the gospel runs counter to natural human thinking. It's not something anyone could just sit and come up with. Human religion always comes up with a way that we reconcile ourselves to God, but the gospel comes and says that Christ has reconciled the world to himself. And so the formula of Concord, the last Lutheran confession, says it well when it says, fundamental, enduring unity in the church requires, above all else, a clear and binding summary and form in which a general summary of teaching is drawn together from God's word, to which the churches that hold the true Christian religion confess their adherence. That is, we go to the Scriptures and we can draw from them then, reading them in context and reading them together, a clear summary of teaching to which we can pledge ourselves, we can recognize as divine truth, recognizing that summary, that confession, stands under Scripture itself, which alone sets the norm for teaching in the church. And so Schwenkfeld posed a really modern challenge once again to the Reformation, which is this idea that everyone can go in and find their own meaning in something. Sometimes that can be helpful in looking at text, but not with the Scriptures. And it really was a return to Genesis 3, where the serpent had said to Eve, "Did God really say?" And so we're reminded then in this controversy of the importance of recognizing the authority of the Scriptures, and that the Scriptures are not, you know, some passive thing that we go to, some dead book that we go and we find in it what we may, like someone out on a hike. But rather, the Scriptures are the living voice of God, the very voice of Christ speaking to us still today, which are acting upon us, which sees us, which capture us, which take us as their own through preaching, through baptism, through absolution, through the Lord's Supper, and also through the mutual consolation of fellow Christians as we share the good news of Christ and apply law and gospel one to another in our daily lives as parents and children as well, teachers, fellow employees, whatever the case may be, colleagues and friends. So not the longest winging it session, but this is a shorter part in the book as well. And next time we'll be taking up the controversy over original sin, which for me is a big one because my primary field of study for my dissertation involved Matthias Flacius Illyricus. And this is one where he got himself in a little bit of trouble. So we'll probably go a little bit longer on that one. But then as we find our hope in the Scriptures, which God has given to us, the Word of God, which reveals to us the Word of God that is Christ, who became flesh to save us. Hopefully we can go forth in the confidence of the promises we find there and let the bird fly.
Every evening when the sun goes down, get with my party and I begin to clown. I don't care what the people are thinking, I'm not drunk, I'm just a drinker. I say I'm up another round. Set 'em up, another round. One more round won't get me down. Came home last night, all full of lush. My babe began to fuss, and I said, "Honey, I don't care what